The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast. We are back. Episode one of them. We got the whole crew in the building. Michael did a great job covering for me last week. The Tucker brothers also showed up, and thank you guys for getting that done and getting that out there. First one I missed this year? Has to be, right?
I think so, yeah.
So appreciate you guys.
This season. I feel like one this season, maybe one last year, like last season this year.
If City lost today, I didn't expect you to be on. So
didn't want to be here if City lost today, but we're here nonetheless. We got a packed show. There's a ton that happened. We are gonna obviously do some dudes of the week. I got a couple cultural questions for the boys to get their take on the zeitgeist. There were a shit ton of goals in the Premier League, and obviously it was capped off by an 8-goal thriller in West London. But first, shameless shill section of the pod. If you're listening, like, subscribe, share it, give us a review. We are on all places where you can get your podcasts, and also on YouTube, which is where we've gotten the most views. And honestly, if you don't want to listen to the whole pod, it's totally fine. I get it. There's times where I'm editing this and I don't want to fucking listen to it again either. I do cut it up into the main sections on there, so you can take a listen to a couple of the main sections. But please give us a subscription, rate us, and do all that shit. It helps us out
all
a ton. Boys, how you doing?
I had a great weekend.
Yeah, Dylan's on cloud nine. Wolves will be one of the main characters in the pod, and you guys have been for, I feel like, the past 3 or 4 episodes. Michael, you're just busy working, correct?
It's mostly studying, but yeah.
Test is coming up again.
I have to get a new engine for my car. A lot of shit going on.
You know, Michael, nice. There was a study back in the late 90s when I was just a young lad that to study for tests, if you put your book under your pillow the night before, all the information actually seeps into your head and your brain. So I would recommend doing that.
I hate you. I would advise you to take this seriously.
I was going to ask Nick how he was doing. Now not going to.
Nick everyone's got a nice haircut. But like,
Yeah, it
looks like shit.
It's all gone.
Big aerodynamicy on the boy there.
Put this under my pillow?
Yeah, I put my chemistry book under my pillow my sophomore year of high school because I didn't have time to study. And I will just let you know, this it doesn't work. I know you were a little nervous that it might. Yeah. It definitely doesn't work.
No. Way to set yourself up for that one,
by the way. But look, I had a 4-day weekend. It's teacher's convention, you know, so I had nothing. You know, I had some extra time off. Had to think of the good jokes, you know.
Love it. Big week for Dylan. City, pretty tough week for me. But, you know, what am I going to do? I got to even out. I finished the marathon. I went to Aruba. I came back. And the only bad news I have is a draw. I'm not going to belabor that because Dylan will slap me across the face in a Zoom. It was a little tough, though, Michael. And again, I don't want any sympathy from the Tucker brothers because you guys are going through it right now. It was tough to watch that game and then think the only other thing I had to look forward to after was the Browns, but they won. So now I sound like a jackass.
Yeah, I got to see how we did. Like, I saw Jerome Ford had like 100 yards rushing, so good for him.
You could not watch offensive highlights and you'd know. You're fine. So we're good to go.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, let's get into it. I want to rename this. Shut Up and Dribble is not really rolling off the tongue. We'll figure that out at some point. So we're still working on it. But I got a few questions for you guys. One, you guys didn't get to talk about this, but I wanted to get your take. Leo Messi, Ballon d'Or winner. Boo. Just give me a quick, do you agree, do you disagree, who should have won it? Right off the top. Nick, let's go to you.
How does Haaland not win that? I mean, this was, it was like, this eighth one was like a lifetime achievement award. That's really what it was. I mean,
it's always what it is.
No, but they gave it to him just because he won the World Cup. It wasn't for, it's not an entire year that he did it over, because he didn't have a great season at PSG that would put him in the numbers of of this. So I think Haaland got a short end of the stick, but how are you going to argue giving it to Messi? He finally wins the World Cup. So I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
Dylan?
I'm okay with it because this Ballon d'Or was for America. MLS finally have a Ballon d'Or winner. FIFA clearly playing that up to get more eyeballs on 2026. So, you know, it's not like they've been doing anything else rigged recently with naming other things. So totally makes sense.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, shout out to you. I think, Dylan, that was a little side dig. You don't normally do that, but I like it. Michael, your thoughts?
It's the same thing as LeBron not getting the MVP every single year.
That's not true.
It's not supposed to go to the person who has the best stats or is, you know, has the best year. It is literally a narrative from the beginning of the year to the end, and the narrative overwhelmingly was that he won the World Cup when everyone said he wasn't going to. So, I also don't care. No one cares about the Ballon d'Or.
Ronaldo does.
Exactly why no one cares about it. Because that's literally like, it's the same thing as like your 10-year-old kid coming up and saying something to you. Take it with the same amount of like honesty and sincerity as Ronaldo saying it.
Yeah, tough scenes. I don't know. I don't mind Messi getting it. I do like that 20 years from now, when they do the breakdown of what leagues have won the most Ballon d'Ors, it's 1-0 MLS on Liga MX. That's all I know. Mostly because we won't win a second one, and I don't think they'll win one, but 1-0. All right, my second question. We're just talking about the Browns. Before we jumped on, we were kind of chatting about the state of affairs for the Giants. The Tuckers are fans of. Guys, it's your bye week. Do you want your all-pro Hall of Fame tight end going to Argentina mid-bye week? What are we doing?
Absolutely.
I have a follow-up to this once we're done discussing this.
If you have a chance to see the concert of a decade, even a century, some might say, you go and do it. Not to mention, I don't know if you saw the highlights from last night. She's putting on a private show just for Travis Kelce. Like, you absolutely leave. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting serenaded at the bar by his girlfriend right now, and the bar is a huge stadium where River Plate plays. It's just insane.
And they're changing lyrics to songs. Like,
well, yeah, you're stealing my thunder here because I had a pretty decent transition going into the Chelsea game. Nick, what was your follow-up?
We were discussing this the other night. We set an over-under on the relationship, and we landed on June 18th as setting the line.
Really? Do you know what June 18th is?
No.
It's my birthday.
Oh! Well, it's also my other friend's birthday, so that was... I want to know what you guys think, because we were looking at tour schedule, we were looking at game schedule, like... OTAs and everything. Over under, the relationship will end before June 18th, or it will go past June 18th.
Michael, you haven't spoken on this yet. What do you got here?
I mean, hold on. Like, you're trying to tell me he's not in love? Like, look at him.
Oh, there's no doubt they're in love. That's not the question. Logistics is the question.
I think this is the one.
I think they're getting married. I'm with Michael.
Yeah, dude. Three for three.
It's a unanimous over.
Dude, we're a pro-love podcast.
Do you know how private jets work? Like, they can figure this out. Also, exactly. He's playing football for, what, 2 more years? Like,
So I'm going to break this down real fast. He signed through 2026.
You're right. No one's ever retired before their contract's over.
He's going to make, like, 50 or... Actually, she's got all the money.
She makes more money.
Second, she's on tour... Her tour, there's a huge 2-month break in the middle of February until like April or something, right after the Super Bowl. And then she's in, and that's when she's doing all of her like Asian Pacific, like the swings in Asia and everything in Singapore and stuff. Then she's in Europe, which is much easier to get to, or, you know, more common to get to, whatever, I guess, for him. And it could work. If they can make it, if they can make it after this to through this, the football season, it's a lock. They're getting married, three kids, you know, not even a question.
Three. Dylan, this is for you. No, this is a question for you, because I think you have the most knowledge on the like the albums and her discography, right? If this is true, if we're right, if this is love and they get married, the music's going to suffer.
No, absolutely not.
You don't think so?
Why would it suffer? Because there's no breakup songs?
There's no breakup songs.
Have
there's
you
no
heard
angst.
Lover? Lover is literally a song filled with like love ballads for the most part. But like there's, if anything, if you want to say it's more sad songs, I think we'd be doing better by having a happy album that would be all about how much you love someone. Plus there'd be football puns, like who doesn't love that? Like she hits every single genre. We can move into, like, it doesn't matter. It's gonna be a jam.
I think I want to believe that too, and I think we're in a time and a state where a happy album's kind of what the country needs. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce might bring us all together. Make sure you go get your two shots, flu and COVID, by the way. Travis Kelce told me to say that. All right. Due to the week, normally I would acknowledge a couple of guys here, but I'm going to do a duos. So I got six people I'm going to shout out just to let you guys know. It's a little theme I got going on, a little duos. So, Michael, you gave me such a great face there, and you led the pod so well last week. Let's start with you. Nick, go ahead and go second. Dylan, go third, and I'll go last since I was not here last week. So, Michael, lead us off.
It can only be Dominic Solanke for me, number one. Getting Craig, getting the Fighting Craigs and the Cherries up out of relegation with a 2-0 home win against Newcastle. I think he's probably one of the most underrated strikers in the Premier League.
Like that one. Like that one. Shout out to Craig, as always.
Craig.
Nick, who you got?
I have a theme as well, as you'll pick up quite quickly. I'm going with Xabi Alonso. Hell of a start at Leverkusen. 17 matches all comps, 16 wins, 1 draw, 46 goals, 12 goals conceded. Pretty damn good, and maybe we have a real challenger to Bayern Munich.
One would hope.
Ricochet shot at Dortmund.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. Strays.
Yeah. I like it. I was looking at Chabby to be one of my dudes of the week this week, too. They're rolling. Have they they got one loss or no losses?
No, no losses.
16
no
losses. Wins still and defeated. One draw.
Damn.
Rudy Giuliani, zero.
Shout out to Leverkusen for that one.
Didn't see that one coming tonight.
Yeah, no. Dylan.
I'm just going to be a homer, as always. Mario Lemina, you're the man. Late 97th minute, and not to mention before that, it's the hard work of – there's a few if he passed some sitters that got missed, but he got the foul, immediately got right back up, and the Tottenham team forgot that you're supposed to play after a foul happens and brought it home. So, Mario Lemina, I love you.
Lamina, big American there. Play till the whistle. Play through the whistle, actually. Shout out to that. All right. Like I said, I got duos going. First things first, the most important thing. It's a double duo here. Shout out New Jersey and New York. The Gothams win the NWSL. But I'm shouting out Margaret Purse and obviously Allie Krieger there. My dual women dudettes of the week. New York, New Jersey, Gothams with the NWSL title. My second round pick, we're going into the international break. It only makes sense to shout out some Americans. Malik Tillman, Sergiño Dest, they combined for a goal this weekend for PSV Eindhoven. One of four. PSV is still playing pretty well in the Dutch league, but I just like two Americans connecting overseas in an international game. Shout to them. Malik Tillman probably a little too old to get a call up or get some consistent time, but it's always good to see.
That big,
big America.
their passing, that passing in that buildup was phenomenal.
By the way. I kind of have been trying to watch more of that team just because you're not just getting those two guys, you're also getting Pepe, and then it may be very Landon Donovan of me, but I do like Lozano when he's not in a Mexican kit. He's fun to watch. So shout out to Eindhoven PSV. Dylan, round two.
You guys can be proud of me because I was going to say Michael Oliver, but I'm not going to do that. So I will go with my Toffees as well. And I'm just saying Decore because I don't think I can say his first name right. So Decore absolutely crushed it, held the midfield, had an assist, had a goal, led the Toffees to a huge victory. And happy Hank, happy Dylan, the mid-table is a good thing. So we stick together in terms of duos.
Dylan also a 6-4 this week in predictions. So shout out to you, dude. Nick.
I guess we'll stay on the Toffee train here with the team. I'm shouting out Sean Dyche. Is he making Everton a wagon? And he's also shoving it in all the face of the haters on this podcast, self included sometimes. So good for you, Sean. Keep doing it.
Love it. Sean Dyche, one of the patron saints of the NAFTA podcast. You'll love to see it. Michael, round two.
Second pick. Or I got two picks, I guess. First pick of round two, I'm going to go Ollie Watkins. I love him. I love that he gets goals. I love that he contributes to this Aston Villa team. Aston Villa at home is an absolute wagon. And then my third and final pick, I'm shouting out me. Because I got the vote that we could change our pick for Spurs and Wolves, and guess who got a point from it? Guess who got a point from it, baby? Up the Wolves. Well, up the Wolves.
I will say I was impressed. I thought that the roadblock I put in front of you would not allow you to do it, but you somehow were able to edit that photo.
But it worked. It worked.
Yeah. No, it looked good. I mean, no one knew that thing was edited, to be honest.
Michael's in charge again.
Definitely, dude.
Michael's in charge of artwork again this week, right?
If he wants to. I already got it done, but if he wants to, it's fine.
I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Nick, round three. All right.
My third manager I'll be taking is Erik ten Hag. Everyone's sitting here saying we're going to have a tough time and we're struggling. I'm sorry, but we're the most informed team in the league. 12 points.
I saw that.
12 points so out of our last 15. No one's even close. We're struggling. We'll talk about this later. It ain't pretty, but the boys are playing Shrek ball right now, and I'm here for it. ETH, baby.
I saw that Instagram, and I almost sent it to the group, but I was like, I'm holding this. I'm going to hold this information for the podcast, but I figured you saw it too. Dylan, last pick.
I'm sorry, John. Cole Palmer. That guy's kind of a stud. I don't know why you got rid of him. Like, he controlled, at least in my opinion, a lot of the attacks that are coming outside of Raheem Sterling. It was him and Cole Palmer that was putting the pressure on and also having like 4 minutes to think about taking a penalty kick and then absolutely draining it is pretty impressive. And he still likes City, didn't celebrate, so maybe he's trying to get signed back. But
actually, he did celebrate.
He did.
Yeah, he did celebrate.
He didn't look like he was.
Little dickhead. Give him one.
I just can't help myself. Nick goes 12 out of our last 15, and no one's close. We have 11 out of 15, so I don't know what close means to you. But there's a number of teams with 10 points out of 15.
I got carried away. I got carried away in the moment.
Yeah,
you
did. just like your team does.
I'm sorry. W's are W's. Doesn't matter if it's by 10 or if it's by 1.
L's are also L's, and you went out of the cup, and you're in the bottom of the Champions League group. So
yeah, it's the cup that no one cares about. When we'll get 4 points from our next two, and we'll be there
in the league
place.
That everyone cares. Your manager and your board, everything, all they care about is Champions League.
Cole Palmer, we're
coming in second. I'm not worried about it.
Much like Cole Palmer, it's 4 minutes between my picks and the last pick too now. So
I also couldn't find my Copenhagen jersey. I wanted to wear my Copenhagen jersey tonight, but I couldn't. I think it's in storage.
Damn. Well, shout out to them.
I'll troll myself. Yeah.
Speaking of trolling yourself, Dylan, you kind of took mine. I was going to actually shout out Cole Palmer and Raz, but since you did that, I had the backup of Za'Darius Smith and Myles Garrett. Just a scary duo in the front four. The only reason we won for the Browns. So no Premier League picks for me on a Premier League podcast. Figure that out. But dudes of the week, done and dusted.
Can I make one honorable mention real quick, or at least a shout out?
Absolutely. Shout him out.
It's Dan James' birthday this weekend, and I never thought I'd ever say this, but please come back. Like, I hate so much better than Anthony, so much better than James Sancho. Dan James, happy birthday. Come on back, buddy.
A miss by you for not being able to find that Copenhagen jersey, and bought you a Dan James jersey.
It's in storage.
How that's not on you.
Okay. It's in storage. It's in storage.
All right. So, dudes of the week over. Big week in the Prem. Like we mentioned, we got a Bournemouth upset. Wolves pull another one out in the 90th minute two times. And like I told Dylan earlier, karma is not the guy in the Chiefs. Karma is the guy on the Blues who used to play for City. I thought that was a good one, but we'll get into it. That was tough. Anyway. All right. Let's fly through these ones. Arsenal 3, Burnley 1. Trossard in the 45th minute. Burnley ties it up in the 54th on a Brownhill goal. Saliba, 57 minute, gives Arsenal the lead again. And then Zinchenko with a karate kick in the 74th minute. Give Arsenal all 3 points against Vincent Kompany. How soon is he getting sacked? Palace 2, Everton 3. Mayolinko scored in the first minute, and then Palace tied it up 5 minutes later on an Eze penalty. Decore in the 49th minute gives Everton the lead again, only to cough it up to Edouard in the 73rd. But Gaye with a goal in the 86th minute. That should be an own goal, but no, that's the Gaye from Everton. My bad. I'm out of form. Had a week off. United 1. Luton Town 0. I can't believe I'm reading this correctly. Lindelof with the goal for United. All 3 points against the wagon that is Luton Town. Aston Villa 3. Fulham 1. Villa continue to roll. Miles Robinson had an own goal for Fulham in the 27th minute, giving Villa the 1-0 lead. McGinn in the 42nd made it 2. Watkins in the 64th made it 3. Jimenez in the 70th with a goal for Fulham. That was kind of neither here nor there. What did I screw up on that one, Michael?
Anthony Robinson?
I said Robinson.
Miles Robinson.
Oh, sorry. Anyway. Brighton 1, Sheffield 1. This is just going so well right now. Adingra in the 6th minute gave Brighton the lead, and then a Webster own goal for Sheffield was their clawback. I got a big question mark around the Seagulls right now. They look a little weird. And then we're going to end it with Liverpool 3. Or no, we're not. We got West Ham after it. At Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. Salah in the 39th and 62nd. Jota in the 74th. Easy win for the Reds. West Ham 3, Nottingham Forest 2. This one was fun. Paqueta in the 3rd gave West Ham the lead. Iwani in the 44th tied it up. Elanga gave Forest the lead in the 63rd, then Bowen gets it back in the 65th with Suchek scoring the game-winning goal in the 88th. All right, quick questions here because I want to try to get us through them pretty quick. When does my good friend Vincent Kompany get the sack? What's our over-under there?
Like ASAP.
All right.
Next international break.
You mean next one? Like not this
one? Yes. They're going to give him another period, yes.
Because we are getting close to the ever, ever important Boxing Day. Dylan, what's your thoughts there?
I think it's going to be Boxing Day-ish because I think they have a schedule they think they can win. But I think it's going to be a problem for them because if they don't, they just shot themselves in the foot to actually get someone in there to turn it around.
Yeah. I think on the last pod, you guys mentioned this, and I thought it was pretty spot on. I do feel like they're the one team that did not think they were going to go down in the promoted team. So I don't think they really have that planned out. But it'll be interesting. I think Boxing Day is a decent shout. I think if they wanted to fire him now, by all means, they have the rights to do that. Arsenal with a win, as you'd expect. Dylan, you mentioned them twice, or they got brought up twice. Everton, big win against Palace. Do we have a Hank check? Do we know what's going on? Is he still playing with a fish tank?
Danny joined a golf club, so golf club Everton now. He's happy. Like, we were texting all throughout the game to the point where I think out of the four of us, I'm the only one who's at least been on the Everton side. I've been pissed off at him at points, but like, they're, to me, they're a solid mid-table team. They, I don't think, have something to worry about this year. Like, it's not pretty, but they're figuring it out, and they get a lot of XG. It's just they finally are converting it.
Yeah. I think Michael did a tier list that at some point maybe he'll release. Hopefully he passes his test, and then he can just be able to do other stuff. But, Michael, where is Everton on that tier list? They're still bottom barrel?
With strength of schedule?
Just, yeah, where they
like,
at?
Like when we argued about West Ham and Wolves.
Yeah.
Oh, they're tier three. But there's, like, most of the teams are tier... The teams that you can't, like, confidently be like, okay, they're going to win this game for sure, and they're going to for sure lose this game, they're, like, pretty much tier three. There's only Bournemouth and all the promoted teams are at the bottom, just because that's where they are. And then I think West Ham has to be in there now. I don't think they deserve to be tier two.
Yeah, big news. All right.
I do want to call out real quick before we move on from Everton. The reason that I think Everton's also turning a leaf, this was the first time they've won back-to-back games in 3 years. So big things coming.
Big. Watch this space. United 1-0 over Luton Town. Nick, will a Manchester United striker score in the Premier League this season?
Why? We have the best scoring defense in the club history. What's the point?
Since Chelsea. You have the best scoring defense since Chelsea.
It's rough, dude. It's rough. But
quick thoughts, though. I mean, you came in here guns blazing with, like, hey, we're actually not as bad as people think.
I know. I have stats. I have some quick things, just some quick points here I looked up because we are pretty poor. Like, I'm not – let's preface all this with understanding. You guys know I'm a pretty rational fan. Like, it's not good. And so 12 games last year, 12 games this year, 21 points, the exact same point total as last year. Last year we were scored 16 goals in those 12 games – plus one goal difference. This year, 13 goals, minus three goal difference. We got smoked by City in both of those runs. Last year, we were 6-3-3. This year, we're 7-0-5. It's the losses is what makes it worse this year, I think. Definitely, it brings a different type of vibe to it. As you saw me at Leggett's after the Brentford drubbing. But the performances in these losses, it's not like we're going out and we're playing City great and we lose 2-1, 3-2. Like, just the performances are horrid. So it makes it feel much worse than it is. And then, I don't want to blame, but, like, we're in this the same position as we were last year, points-wise. And we've had, at one point, 19 first-teamers have been out already. You know, missing weeks and games. Plus, Rashford's basically non-existent, so he's like a 20th injury anyway. So, it gives me some positivity. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe we get these guys back, something can change. And then, Andre Onana, second in the league in clean sheets and second in the league in save percentage. So, hopefully, he's starting to figure it out. This actually calmed me down. That's the quick thing. Is that it's ugly. It's not fun to watch, but just getting through it and maybe we can limp into a European competition.
Love to hear it. Normally, you know, people like to break you down to build you back up. I'm glad that you're building yourself back up, because when we talk about Chelsea, I do have a question that may break you down again. Villa, 3-1. Villa's good, right?
Only at home.
Home Villa,
four goals. So I didn't know if we were going to get into this, but I do have this thought. It's just hard on the road in the Premier League this season.
I think
it's true any season, but yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. For some reason, you tie Chelsea away, you tie Luton Town away. Like, it's just, it's tougher. Also, want to shout this out. That Liverpool section needed to be a little bit bigger last week. I feel like you guys didn't talk about it enough.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
The section of the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why you're lashing out because you drew Chelsea.
Brighton 1-1 to Sheffield. What is going on there? Do we know?
Yeah. Off the wagon.
Did you see what Jeremy said?
Wait. Hold on, Nick. Michael, you're no longer riding a Gaul.
No. I don't care. There's no reason they should be this bad in front of goal.
Is Pep calling you his next successor actually the kiss of death?
That'd be real fucked up if that was the case, because that's really mean that he did that shit, but...
Pretty crazy. Nick, what were you going to say?
Did you see what De Zerbi said today in his postgame?
No.
I did, but you want to say it?
He hates 80% of the managers in England and went off, so I'm assuming that...
Wait, really?
Or something like that. I Michael will correct me, I assume.
Let me make sure.
He basically hates 80%. He thinks they all stink. So that's not going to get him any calls. That might not help.
Yeah.
No. Okay, hold on. I don't like 80% of referees in England.
That's what I said, right?
You said managers.
You said managers.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Oh, no. My bad. Oh, wow. I was way off.
Way different.
Sorry.
Way different.
Yeah, sorry. No, you're right. Referees. I blacked out. Sorry.
Yeah, that's tough. But... I could see that being an issue. I mean, we don't like 80% of the referees in England. That's kind of normal. I don't fault him for that.
I didn't see, because I was working today, so I didn't see why Dahoud got the red. But the did the VAR make a mistake account on Twitter didn't bring it up. So I'm assuming that it was fine, or people really weren't questioning it. They only brought up the one from the City Chelsea game. So yeah. I haven't seen it though. I tried to look it up before this and I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Dylan, you haven't thrown in your two cents on the Seagulls.
I think it's a team that, like I think I said this before, they're a team that finally got to Europe that's never actually been to Europe. And it's, we say it all the time, but the depth is running into it for them at this point. Also, stop getting dumb red cards and screwing yourself when you're at home against teams that suck. So,
yeah. No, I think you're actually bringing cohesive arguments to the question as opposed to all of the rest of us. I think that actually makes sense. I think the midweek games are killing them.
Yeah.
For sure. And as much as they have a shit ton of talent, they just, like you said, it's not having two guys at each position that can step in so that people can get a break. I think that is running them ragged.
I think they might be on the West Ham track of make sure you're safe in the league and then just go balls out in Europe to try and get back into Europe, because it's the only way it's happening this year.
Yeah, it'll be a better version of West Ham. I don't think West Ham ever was top 10 last year. So, like, they have that. I think they have that cushion, but I totally agree. I think they're better off. Like, let's go to a semifinal or a quarterfinal, I guess, or win it. I don't know. You know, we'll see. Michael, what you got?
The only thing I want to say is this is just coming off the back of, like, Ange, who kind of, like, walked it back, but mostly Arteta. It's just one of those things where I'm just convinced that managers will only give a fuck about VAR or the team or, like, referees when it happens to them. And I'm over talking about it at this point.
Yeah. Managers, they're human too. 3-0 win over Brentford, Michael. You guys good?
Yeah. Is that it? Is the only question you got?
Well, you want to bring anything else up?
No. I was just like, that's easy. Yeah, we're good. I think we obviously need to get a defensive midfielder. I think that would be really important. And we need Joe Gomez or Joel Matip to be able to fill in consistently when, like, Konate needs a break or whatever. Matip did really well today. Sometimes he's really bad, but if they can be consistent and we can get a holding midfielder in January, I think we have a real shot. Our offense is really fucking good.
Yep. Liverpool back. Like they never tied Luton at home. Like away. Like it never happened. West Ham, 3-2. That was a fun game. Nick, I saw you were watching it. They're going to fight to the end. I think they're solidly a top 10 team this year. They're going to lose some games they're not supposed to, that we don't think they're going to. They're going to beat some teams and play tough against teams that are better than them. I think they're a solid top half of the table team this year. Anyone want to go against me?
Nope.
Cool. We actually flew through that one. That was good. All right. Let's get into the meat and potatoes. The Bournemouth 2-0 win. Dom Solanke with a 60th-minute goal and a 73rd-minute goal. Big brace for them. Newcastle, again, like Dylan mentioned with Brighton, I think they're suffering some midweek trauma at the weekend, essentially. Michael, you were the one on this panel that paid most attention or closest attention to it. What were your thoughts there? I know you love Big Dom, but... What should our thought process be about both these teams?
I mean, this is another one that I think, like, we obviously can't do this. We have to call it, like, the when we do the podcast. But seeing the starting 11s would have been really helpful, because the starting 11 of midfield, even, Willock, Miley, and Longstaff, and then Hall at left back, Shar, Lascelles, and then Trippier, I'm sitting there going, you guys have to go away to Bournemouth with this team. Like, you're going to get cut apart. And they did. I mean, they were never close to scoring a goal. Bournemouth were pumping them 2.46 XG. I think it's weird. I think Bournemouth are not bad. And I think that if they can just catch a vibe right now off of this and catch, like, some momentum, I think they'll be above Fulham. I think they're better than potentially Nottingham Forest as well. And I think Newcastle, they're very streaky. They're a basketball team. They're going to put up 20 straight, and then they're going to get absolutely picked apart randomly. So, I don't know. I think they're going to struggle to get into Europe for sure, Newcastle.
I disagree with that. I think this is...
Let me hear it.
I'm just saying. I think it's a blip. They were missing 11 players. I think...
Wait. Did Trippier tell you that?
He did. Yeah. I also read that.
He's telling everybody.
He's a big Chelsea pod listener.
Yeah. It's more the fact that, like, obviously you have to get healthy. I think the story is, outside of probably City, and I know we can make the argument of how things went today, but, like, outside of City, for even the good teams, there's depth problems. And as much as they wanted to say that they're working on their youth program and all that type of stuff, like, I'm sure what you're going to see up depth problems too, okay. But so, ultimately, I just don't think they have the depth that shows that they can really compete for titles. I still think they can potentially push for Europe at some point. But, I mean, I think you hit on it before, John. Like, the Premier League... become any given Saturday, Sunday, Friday, or Monday. Like, at this point, like, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter who you play. Like,
yeah,
if you don't show up ready to play, one of the teams scrapping is going to come get you.
Yeah, it's why it's the best one. Do I hear a hot take that we maybe need to take down Michael Newcastle out of Europe, Dylan in Europe?
We might as well add it to our list since we have the Wolves above West Ham bet going right now.
Michael, you agree?
Wolves will not make Europe.
No, we're talking about Newcastle.
Newcastle will be closer to Europe than you will be.
That's what I just said. The whole bet is you're taking Newcastle out of Europe. He's taking Newcastle in Europe.
Oh,
because you know you just said won't make Europe.
Yeah. Sorry, but then you brought up Wolves and West Ham, so I thought it was another matter of, like, who's going to get higher.
Michael, do you think that Newcastle is going to be in Europe, yes or no?
I understand it now. I'm explaining why I was confused. Yes, okay. I'll take that bet.
All right, perfect. Adding it to the hot take tracker.
Wait.
I do agree.
Seventh count?
Yeah, if they make Europe, it's Europe.
Is it, though? It's the conference. Does it count?
As a team that technically would have been in the Conference League before it was created, yes, it counts.
I'll take it.
All right, I was gonna say conference might be a push. I do agree with Michael on one thing. I do feel like it's so funny. It's maybe crazy to say this, I think there's a gap between Bournemouth and the bottom three. Now, I don't know how big that gap is, but I do think Bournemouth at home, if they are feeling feisty and a little streaky, they are a better team than Sheffield United, Luton, and Burnley. I think those three teams would
be. I was going to be a dickhead and say, yes, the gap is 3 points right now. So.
But
well, I deserve it.
John, is this you saying that? Because I feel like last year and even 2 years ago, we were talking about it's so bunched up. There's so many teams. Do we think the relegation battle is going to be, we know the three teams, like, early on? It's just a matter of when. Like, we're just picking what day they're officially relegated.
I think it's more of, because I don't have, like, the crystal ball of the schedule, where it's like, I think the schedule is going to shake out in such a way that we will still have a relegation battle until the end of the year. But I think if I was a betting person, which I should be because I have a podcast and that's how you get sponsors, I think I would take Luton, Sheffield, Burnley 3 to get relegated right now, and I'd feel comfortable and pretty confident with it. And like, I just think not going to change. Yep.
I'm trying. I know it was Derby County had the most or least points. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what match week that was, because I would like to figure that out and see if we could put a little marker down. I think it's
when does the first team officially go down, mm-hmm. essentially?
Yep.
That's the thing. I think the schedule is going to be set up in such a way that 17th place team will still be in the shouting distance of the three, because you got to go, every one of them has to go to, you know, all these City, Chelsea, wherever. But I think that, like, these three, I don't think are going to move off the bottom now. And I mean, never thought that about Burnley.
Did you see the stat? I think you guys did. But, like, for newly promoted teams, the three of them combined have, like, the lowest amount of points through, like, 11 games, but by, like, 25 points to the next. And, unfortunately, the Wolves were part of that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get to see that. Actually, when you have that, send it over. But that was one of my original calls, is, like, the three teams that are going to get relegated this year will have the least amount of points of a bottom three ever. So I just think that's so top-heavy. I know it's not. Yeah, I know it's not, but it's, like, kind of playing in the same ballpark. In the same cul-de-sac. All right, big win by Bournemouth. We got to shout out to Craig when we get a chance. Dylan, floor is yours. 2-1. So, Nick, what did you say?
Match week 32, when Derby and Huddersfield were the two earliest relegated, match week 32.
All right. Well, I'll have to think about that. I don't know if I want to throw that. Yeah, give it to me. Sooner than match week 32, one of these teams is relegated. I totally think that. All right. Wolves-Spurs, a Brennan Johnson goal in the third minute gave Tottenham an early lead, and then we had to go 88 minutes until the next goal by former Sevilla great Pablo Sarabia in the 90+1. But wait, Wolves were not done. They get the winner from Lamina in 90+7. I think, Nick, this is you hitting one of your early call-outs where there's like a game winner in double 90. We still don't have a game winner in 90+10 yet. But Dylan, these two goals were amazing, too. You guys look like a good-ass team.
It's the first time in a while. It doesn't matter if a team scores on us, because I know we can at least score one in a game. And we've consistently been scoring two, but I can tell you it was 2 years where I was like, I don't know if we're even going to score.
Dude, you were saying it earlier this year.
Yeah.
You can't score. So something's going on.
Well, yeah, you know, like, we actually had time. I love Gary O'Neill. I absolutely love that man. And it's probably because we've had the full – let's look at it. We actually had a preseason, which was probably the first seven games of the year, to figure out what he wants to do. And now we're cooking. Like, he made the right subs. I think he's doing the right thing. Like, the team is fun. They play hard. And I know you got our scraps with, you know, Matthias and whatnot, but, like, he's the epitome of someone who, like, didn't want to be in Wolverhampton, where everyone on this team, I think, actually wants to be there, and it wasn't like, oh, we had a super agent just force you to show up here type of thing. And I think they play for each other. I'm very excited for – here's a hot take. Bellegarde, I think, is better on the ball than Matheus Nunez. And when Neto comes back, seeing the two of them actually link up has me very excited. You're laughing because you probably haven't actually watched him on the ball, but he's...
No.
I think he's better.
I'm laughing because I just... I'm glad that you're so happy.
I've never had my Saturday turned in 8 minutes faster than maybe the day of your wedding when we scored 3 goals down 2-0 to Villa. that was probably the last time that this like joy was here. But I don't know, like, but it also goes into the fact that one, you give up an early goal. All right, whatever. Luckily, again, Michael Oliver, thank you for all those red cards. Injuries happen. Like, I think it still could have been a game, but, like, it definitely hurt Tottenham. And I think it showed where they're another team that needs depth, because outside of who is starting for them, that's where the house of cards falls for the Spurs, because that was the opposite of what we've seen Ange Ball be. They scored a goal and completely parked the bus. We controlled the ball. And, like, those two goals were for the fact that we hadn't broken them down yet, but we tired him out because we were hustling the entire time. And then also Gary O'Neill got a coaching assist. I don't know if you saw that for how quickly he got the ball for the throw-in for Sarabia's goal, followed by the fact that they were so lazy getting back on defense, forgetting that you could actually do a quick restart. And the last thing, even though I mentioned it before, that I love Mary Lamina, it was also the most go-ahead Wolves goal ever, because he also got tripped by the turf monster and almost whipped on the ball completely. But you know what? 3 points are 3 points. It's a shame we can't beat Sheffield United, because we'd probably be in the eighth place right now. But we'll take it. We'll move on. Fulham can't score. I'm going to bite myself. I'm going to wish I didn't say that out loud, but fuck it. Let's go beat the boys and go take the league by storm. Wolves out.
Whoa.
You can go, Michael.
Dylan, I agree with pretty much everything you said, except for the fact that you said they did the opposite of what Ange Ball was. I think they tried to actually play. I honest to God, like, I don't think you understood what I said to you when we were texting. I think you guys just were better than them, straight up. Like, you,
thank you,
took the ball, you tackled, you, I mean, Cunha and Bellegarde, like, were dribbling through people. I think that they were completely lost in the midfield without Madison. And then the back line, like I said, I think it was a matter of time before you guys got some good chances, and both your chances were just cut right through the back line. I think they tried to play, and I don't think that they had the facilities to do so.
Yeah, they definitely. I know Madison's a key loss. I know you guys were really pushing to switch that pick. Good on you guys for doing that. But like, Dylan, I think you're absolutely right. Like, when you guys beat City. Beat City.
We did.
I remember watching that game and just being like, yeah, the 11 dudes for Wolves just want to play. They don't give a fuck that they're in the Midlands. They don't care that this is being at Camp Nou. This is, you know, playing at the Bernabeu. Like, they don't give a fuck. They're out there just hustling, and they out hustled us for sure. I thought this guy's career was over, but subbed on the 87th minute, Sarabia, goal and assist. Like,
yeah.
Impact sub.
I'm curious how it translated in next year, but we said at the beginning of the year, we are the team of misfit toys with the biggest chip on their shoulder, and it's paying off. Like, it's the manager nobody wanted, who's actually seems to be a pretty good manager. And it's a bunch of players that we knew had talent, just were struggling to finish. And yeah. You have, like, Lopetegui, like, sure, great coach. He looks like the biggest asshole in the world. These guys aren't good enough to compete. You basically just showed that you're not a good enough coach to want to. Yeah. Like, granted, I know there's other factors to it. And I don't blame him on some of it, but like, you get the right people that actually want to work with each other, and you move forward. We have three people worth $100 million. Come talk to us in the summer.
I think you're absolutely right. If you look at some of these players, there's a lot of them that have been at big quote-unquote clubs before, whether they be in, you know, Serie A, La Liga, wherever, but now, like, finally are getting a run consistently here, and it's paying off. So shout out to Wolves. I will say this: if you guys want to direct your thank yous to me, Wolves fans, by all means, I'll take them. Since I shouted you guys out on that other podcast, you guys are just flying. So I think it's kind of me. Michael, last point?
Yeah, last thing. I think Sarabia is the only player in FOTMOB history to have a goal and assist and not have a rating.
We only played for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, not enough time.
He literally came
field.
On in the 87th. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You have to get an automatic 10.
You have to get 15 minutes to get a rating.
I do have to say, my favorite part was I was getting my hair cut during the game, and I saw a Snapchat from Alex, and I told the woman cutting my hair, I go, hang on, stop, put the scissors down, you're going to want to see this. And it did not disappoint. Dylan running around his apartment shirtless, listened to Petey, basically going Petey Pablo, whipped around like a helicopter.
No, I Brandy Chastained it, I'm not going to lie. The moment that went in, the shirt came right off.
Shirt running around the apartment.
Your wife videotapes you. My wife yells at me when I'm yelling about a 4-4 draw to Chelsea. This one was wild. So let's start it off. Haaland had a pen in the 25th minute. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Gave City the lead. Silva got the goal back for Chelsea. 1-1 in the 29th. Sterling scored against his old team. Did not celebrate in the 37th minute. Chelsea had a 2-1 lead going into halftime. Haaland got another one back quickly in the 47th minute after the half, 2-2. Akanji scored, I'm sorry, it was 2-2 going in the half because Akanji scored in the 45th minute. That is my fault. Again, a week off. So 3-2 when Haaland scored his second for City. Nicholas Jackson, I hate to have to say this out loud, tied it up in the 67th minute. Rodri in the 86th, you would have thought that was the winner, 4-3. But Cole Palmer was given a pen in 5 minutes of stoppage time, tied 4-4. I just wanted to get out of there with a draw. It was nerve-wracking and pretty awful. Where do you guys want to start? I feel like when it's City, I just go on a tangent, and I don't really want to do that. I'd rather have kind of open it up.
I'll start with the pen.
Yeah.
Don't disagree with it. Do you think the fact that Haaland is claiming to get roughhoused and, you know, thrown around by a guy half his size is a little soft, but it's a pen. I mean, they were talking on the broadcast, they're both equally pulling each other. You know, they're both jostling, which I think is fair. And then he goes to make his move, and Cucurella just pulls his shirt straight down, you know, and it's a pen. It's a little soft here and there, but, you know, it's just interesting to see the fact that, you know, since the statement by Jurgen Klopp, you know, City gets 20 of these calls and United gets 4 when Rasmus Højlund gets completely thrown to the ground. Yeah, I'm making this about me now. Rasmus Højlund gets thrown to the ground. Harry Maguire gets thrown to the ground. Granted, those cancel out how many people he throws to the ground. Just saying, the consistency, I'll take the VAR torch this week. Consistency, inconsistency. A little frustrating with 20 pens to 4 for United ever since that statement. But...
So one of the things, when Rodri, I think it's a pen too, the second point, Anthony Taylor, I thought did a tremendous job refereeing this game. I think this is one of the best refereeing games that I've seen all season. I will say that. When Rodri scored, I had this take.
So funny you said that.
When Rodri scored,
sorry.
It's fine. When Rodri scored, I had this take in the holster, ready to go, in the chamber, ready to go. 20 pens to your 4, I didn't even know this stat. We're in positions to get pens way more than you guys are. Like, you don't play in the box.
No, we pull out like crosses, and we just never decided to go for them.
You're not playing championship ball anymore. You guys are mid-table ball. You're not in the positions to be able to get given pens. So I think that's where the difference is. And that's like the Rodri goal at the end. I was like, man, we got outplayed by Chelsea, but this is pedigree. And this is being in situations where we're winning games and winning championships. And that's why he got the goal. Now, we fucked this up. We got outplayed today. Totally got outplayed. And I have to sit here knowing that I hate Chelsea. Like, two things can be true. I can hate Chelsea, and I do. And I think a lot of these players stink. And we lost. And I'm pretty disappointed about that. We got outplayed.
I think, one, you're taking my comment wrong. It's not a shot at you. It was just a general shot at some issues, you know, but I think that the Chelsea, as we all despise Chelsea here, the fact that Chelsea's, their shooting percentage, the first, what, 5 or 6 games was so atrocious, Now they're actually putting balls on frame, which makes you think that, I mean, they were getting in good positions and they were just kicking field goals, you know?
Yeah.
And whether it's confidence or whatever it is, you know, you can laugh about the hat trick from last week, you know, obviously against Jackson, nine. It's a joke for Nick Jackson, obviously, but it's something to hang your hat on, you know, but they're finally putting the ball on frame and in good places, you know. Maybe Poch is making them into something good, which is kind of scary because they obviously have these guys signed to all their baseball contracts.
Yeah.
So their conversion rate is much better, which is clearly showing they're working on it.
So the key things that I do want to shout out are, one, Rhys James. We forgot that he existed. Really good player. Like, kind of torched us a little bit. I didn't know I was going to watch the, like, Raheem Sterling redemption arc game today. Like, just put the entire team on his back. I don't know if he was pissed at us and Gareth Southgate both, but like, he torched Kyle Walker all game. Connor Gallagher, how Chelsea ever thought they wanted to get rid of that guy? Dumb. So stupid. Was maybe the best player on the field the entire game. Cole Palmer looks really good. Enzo didn't get a good rating, but like, I don't think he's gotten his footing yet. He'll have flashes of brilliance and then just be kind of whatever. The one thing I'll say is, like, Moises Caicedo sucks. He's not a good player. He stinks. I, Michael, you dodged a bullet. Absolutely dodged a bullet with that one. And my only question is, I don't want to question Pep Guardiola here. Cucurella is not a Premier League defender. He just isn't. He could be a Premier League player, but he's not a Premier League defender. Why we didn't invert our wingers to have Doku just go up against him one-on-one for three straight times down the field, I don't really know. Because I think that was their weakest spot. And Rhys James could at least keep up with him and kind of ward him off a bit. So that was my assessment, I guess. Dylan, it looked like you wanted to jump in a couple times.
Yeah, I forget my points I was going to make. I do agree, though, with what you were saying. Like, Cucurella had, like, looked, he was on ice skates a few times where you should have kept going at him. I disagree. I don't think it was a penalty. Sorry. But I think it's one of those let the boys play moments. They both are grabbing each other. It is what it is. I could see how it is, but at the same time, I would let them play. I think if you're a Chelsea fan, you obviously are happy about a draw, and maybe you realize that you, like, this is like the moment of where Arsenal, I think I've said this a few times, 2 years ago, where you need to just let Poch figure this out with the young players. And this year is going to suck, but you'll see some moments that are great. Next year is probably somewhere in between, and then finally you might be back type of thing. And Nick, you're like probably 4 years from there, since you're at the Chelsea point of, you know, scoring goals by only your defenders. So don't worry, you'll get there one day. But ultimately, like, I think it'd be there. I do want to say, though, it also sucks that, like, City played like shit, and it still led to a 4-4 draw. So, yeah. Like, that's the part that I would also be like, that's defeating and deflating at that point. But City and Chelsea, we've talked about Chelsea, City has three more tough games coming up. So, like, hopefully the break came at the right time and you can get your heads right. Because if you play how you did today against Liverpool, and I don't want to jinx this, Michael, but, like, Liverpool will beat City in 2 weeks if that's the team that shows up.
It's another 12:30 start, though.
Forgot about that. I take it back.
Yeah.
City's gonna
that was my first thought when I saw that Michael's going to be bringing that up. But it's not a shot, Michael. I'm just saying it was something that we do talk
about. Yeah, I'm not shooting at you. I'm just saying it.
No, I'll take a shot. The mentality monsters don't do well in the morning. Look, I think that, like, I would have rather... I don't want to play Liverpool off the back of an international break. Like, I don't want to play Liverpool off the back of this game. This was awful. This is bad.
Like, you don't want to play Liverpool.
I don't. They're good. Just not in the morning, I guess. But they're good. You can't score 4 goals and lose. Like, Nick, you're a coach. There's certain times where you're watching your team play and you're just like, if we score this much or if we do this, we can't lose. And we do. Like, whatever. It sucks.
Yeah, the only time I've ever been happy scoring 4 goals and losing is when we were down to 10 men and lost 5-4. I was pretty pumped about that one. That was pretty damn good, but...
Yeah. Dylan, I do think you brought up the point that I was going to say that... Nick, I apologize here in advance that I was like, I'm going to break you down. I'll spot you the five, I think. Is it? 5 points. Chelsea's on 16. United's on 21. I think Chelsea gets more points than you guys for the next 2 years.
Oh, we're restarting to bet because Arsenal's basically winning it at the end of this
year. Yeah, I mean, okay. You're not catching Arsenal.
No, like I got it. I'll take that bet because I got stats to back it up. Go for it.
I just the eye test today and the eye test 3 weeks ago, however long it was. Dylan, I think you should get in on this one.
I don't want to root for Chelsea though, but like
you're I know right. it sucks.
But like it sucks. The thing is like, as much as we've shitted on Chelsea, the talent is there. They just. Mm-hmm. were tripping over themselves. And the thing, though, is I know a point of the bet is we have to take it now. I need to see Chelsea actually do this with the schedule they have, not just against you guys. They need to do it two or three more times and be like, they're building on something. Like, it's promising, but I could see them trip over themselves all over again. But, like, you're probably right. Like, they're ahead of United right now.
Yeah.
Do you know the definition of faith?
No.
I don't want to put it in Chelsea.
It is belief in something that is unseen. Erik ten Hag, his second in most points gained from his first 50 matches as a Premier League manager. He's only second to Pep. He has more than Klopp and more than Arteta. We're going
to
be...
I would employ you to go look at the team that Klopp got and the team that ten Hag got.
I'm not going to because I know you're right. But I'm gonna choose the facts that I'm gonna back up my statement with, because as we all know, in 2023 you can use anything to make a statement. We're gonna be just fine. We're gonna get through this period. You know, it's the old don't love me when I'm
the Everton.
Dylan, I wish I could punch you through this through the screen.
Everton's at home. They're not gonna beat them.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's not gonna be. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's not going to be as much of a blowout as you think it might be. I think we'll. I'll take that bet, and I will put a. I'll bring back an old bet. I'll put a two Guinnesses on this one.
I love it, Michael. Make sure you're adding that to the tracker too.
Sorry,
Chelsea over United. I do like the shout out that Everton's like the Highway Boys, just playing on. They're road dogs. They're just some road dogs, dude. All right. That's the match week. I'm sure we left stuff out. I'm sure we didn't acknowledge everything. It was a wild week of the Prem. A lot of goals. Team USA's got two games coming up. They're both against Trinidad and Tobago. It's Nations League quarterfinals, I think. Home and home. The only question I have remaining before, Dylan, you get us out of here with a joke. I was just in Aruba, which is like the... Cuba to Venezuela, only in distance, not in geopolitics. I had no clue that Trinidad and Tobago was like right off the coast as well. Like I had no idea where the island of Trinidad and Tobago was located. This is me just you could have swam spouting easily. Well, not from Aruba, but Trinidad and Tobago is right off the coast of Venezuela as well. I think it's actually closer than Aruba, which is crazy.
It's you could probably take a canoe over there, no problem.
Easily not a problem. Two wins for Team USA, I think we have to assume. We gotta hope.
Better be.
No Pulley. Who else is out? Pulisic's out and Weah?
Yes.
That makes sense? Yeah. But Gotta be two wins. I'm pumped. God, this pod just reinvigorated my love of my country when it comes to soccer.
Jesus Christ.
Dylan, this is a great pod, guys. Welcome back. It's good to be back. It's good to have all of us here. Get us out of here for the joke. And after the editing, this will be sub an hour. I guarantee it.
I'm proud of us for that. So... listen, boys, how do you stop squirrels from playing football in the garden? Hide the balls. Drives them nuts. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.